Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hampton. Sean.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Guys. Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Indeed it is. Hamp and OB with Kaz, and it was ugly from the get-go today. From the opening kickoff to right now, not officially over, 41-21, the Redskins beating the 57 seconds away from being 3-12 Chicago Bears. OB, you want to start today.
Let me tell you what, folks. We're going to be here for 3 hours. Please listen to the show, because I'm telling you what, there's going to be no hostages. Everything is free game today. Everything is free game. And what I'd like to start out saying is what started at the beginning of the year and why we're at where we're at on a certain phase of the game, okay? You start out the season, our schedule. According to the National Football League, we had the second easiest schedule in the National Football League. There's 32 teams. We had the second easiest. I want to go to two games during our three-game victory season so far that were unbelievable and tells you who we are. And also, it brings up the point about Vic Fangio, our highly regarded defensive coordinator. Not in my mind. We play two games. Let me get to one of the games. We play the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis. Now, I remember when Dan made the mention that, folks, there's 22 players, 11 offense, 11 defense. Not one that started for the Colts could start for the Bears. Not one of them. And we went in there to play them, and their quarterback, Andrew Luck, by the way, had been out for like 3 or 4 weeks. He finally gets ready for us. So all Fangio and his position coaches on defense had to do was guard against Andrew Luck. Don't let him beat us. That's all he had to do, okay? We couldn't get that done. We got killed in Indianapolis. And again, like Hamp said, listen, folks, offensively, that day, guarding Andrew Luck on top of it, their first team line is out, second team is out. They had backups playing for him, starting for him. And we couldn't beat that team. We couldn't get to Andrew Luck, and they beat us. Now, the second game. Under Fangio all year long, the Jacksonville Jaguars, give me a break. They've won two games this year. They come in here to our home field, to Soldier Field. They have a quarterback by the name of Bortles who can't play dead. They come in here with a horrible team, with that same scenario. They have nobody that could start it for us. And that meant the quarterback also. They come into Soldier Field, and again, Fangio and our defensive people and our quality control people can't come up with a game plan to stop the Jacksonville Jaguars. They won two games all year. Indianapolis Colts. At that time, I think they had won one game or two games. And we're playing against backup offensive linemen, and we had to beat one guy, Andrew Luck, and we don't get it done. To me, he's not a genius. I got a lot of questions about this coaching staff, and I think what I said, I'm dead on. How is it, if he's so great, how is it possible to two teams that have no business even being in the league, and guess what? They take us down. They take us down. It's a damn joke.
Well, and you're exactly right. It's exactly what we saw today, OB. And there was no Christmas miracle happening over at Soldier Field today. It was just more of the same, the futility that we've seen all year. Folks, you know, after 3 hours of watching this bumbling bunch led by the clueless John Fox and his band of loser assistant coaches, the mistakes, the breakdowns in fundamentals and techniques and all those different things only reinforce our extreme desire for our only Christmas wish this year to be for the Bears to send John Fox down the road.
How about to win a damn football game? That'd be a novelty.
Well, yeah, and you know, to fire this miserable staff would be great, but the part of it that really guts you is to see a reeling, pathetic team like the Washington Redskins come in here looking for answers and find them in every facet of their game. More importantly, don't give me this crap about injuries have been the overarching reason why the Bears are 3-12 now. The injuries are not that big a deal, and we're gonna go through this list of injuries and the injury reserve list here a little bit later. But the one thing is, cause John Fox and this miserable bunch of losers that he has as assistant coaches, they have had this team prepared to win a NFL game only 3 times out of 15 tries this year. 3 out of 15. The last time I checked, that's good enough to get you a pink slip and get sent down the road.
No, you know what that does? That qualifies us for the toilet bowl in Flushing, New York.
There you go.
Yeah, and that is the overall, and you know, I wish we could paint a silver lining here, but there isn't one. The truth is they're 3-12.
That's right.
We were hoping Matt Barkley would make strides today. He actually went backwards. And, you know, Ed or Dan, I think you said it best. Well, apparently the coaches finally started working with Matt Barkley. So now he's gone the opposite way.
Yeah, Dell Loggins' coaching has kicked in.
Yeah, it just –
5 interceptions on the day.
Yeah, you know, look, you talk about wide receivers and Meredith. There's some young guys that I'd love to have a weekend with Meredith and the kid
Josh
that
Bellamy.
Jumps up Bellamy, because they actually have all the physical tools. They're lacking the little details and fundamentals to be tremendous impact wide receivers.
It's called coaching.
It's close. So it really, when you cut through everything, and we'll give grades to the coaches, we'll go through all of the debacle that happened today. Bottom line is they lost 41-21. I've heard excuses over and over again. It comes from Hollis Hall. It comes from everybody else. A lot of injuries. Truth is, you got to fight through it. In the NFL, it's about winning and losing. When you lose more than you win,
a lot
you lose
more.
Your job. Yeah, you lose your job. So,
what's happening here?
Except
you're seeing these coaches get unmasked. That's what you're seeing. And again, when I started talking about Fangio, how highly regarded he is with the 49ers, whatever, he's the master genius of the 3-4 defense. When I told you the Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we can't find a way to stop them, we can't find a way. Genius.
41-21, it is a final, and you guys touched on a ton there, but let me just give them Matt Barkley stats, because this was a huge disappointment today. No way around it. 24 of 40, 323 yards, that's fine. 2 touchdowns, that's good, but 5 interceptions, some of them, I mean, like a high school quarterback.
A couple were horrible, and the one sack where he should have just taken the sack and he threw it up for grabs, and you put – Norman, who is really the only defensive back that can cover in that Washington Redskins secondary, you put him as an all-pro by just throwing the ball to him all day.
You know what, Glenn and Mark, what we should do here, I mean, like, what, instead of dropping back.
Run the ball.
My God, whatever. Do the play action, the naked bootlegs. That kid, he's got 2 legs the last time I checked. Move that pocket. Excuse me. You see other teams do it. You drop this kid back, drop him back. Like the Redskins can't figure that out. Anybody else we play against can't figure that out. With Jay Cutler, all the time he's been there, do you ever think they'd move him out of the pocket? I never seen such stupidity in my life.
Well, the best coach for the Bears went to Miami this year.
Yep.
And unfortunately, you know, we're stuck with what we have. Jordan Howard, 18 carries, 119 yards, 6.6 yard average. And we had Barkley throw the ball 40 times. Down 14, run the ball. You could work yourself back into the game by actually running the ball with a kid that can get you 6.6 yards a carry. You can get back in games no matter what the score is if you just run the ball.
Absolutely. And folks, here's the difference between a true professional offensive coordinator and a guy like Dow Loggins. Dow Loggins calls plays. He doesn't have a game plan. There's a difference. A game plan is a systematic approach to setting up defenses for success. You run the ball, that develops play action. When you start wearing them out in play action, then you go to different types of 5- and 7-step drops where you're taking them, you know, taking the ball deeper. All these different things, they have to work like a hand in glove. And all we do is come out of a football game, and it's been a loss 12 times this year, where we say, wait a minute, we were good enough to run the ball for, you know, over 100 yards, a 6-yard average. Those are numbers that are winning stats for a team that has a coaching staff with some sense of understanding of a game plan. And yet, you look up, this receiver's got 100 yards, this guy's run for 112 yards, and we have nothing to show for it. It's not about gaining yards. It's not about getting receivers catches. It's not about getting touchdowns to certain running backs. It's about finding ways to win and put the other team in a hole and then work as a team and find ways to win. We've done it 3 out of 15 times. That, in my mind, tells me all I need to know about this buffoonish-like staff that John Fox has put together here in Chicago.
Dan, just real quickly here. Folks, again, all you have to do when you're a defense, number one thing, you better be aggressive. You better be aggressive. You better go after your opponents, okay? All you have to do is game after game after game, watch our inside linemen. Watch their stances. And you know, and I've harped on it for the last several weeks, but it is excuse me, it's unbelievable. You got to be aggressive. You got to try to get up into the gaps and cause some problems. Penetration kills everything. Watch our defensive line. Our linebackers can't even come in to fill the holes because our defensive linemen haven't gotten off the ball and they're getting pushed all over the place. Watch the films. You'll see it.
And, you know, last week we talked about it. You know, for the last 6 weeks, we have become more and more incredulous that this is a professional football team and the stances the defensive line is utilizing. Well, last week, it manifested itself by our defensive line basically getting not only washed off the ball, but their shoulders being turned, and then whatever linebacker feel and support had no chance. And that's why
there.
The Packers ran for the most yards they've ran against anybody in 30 years. Little things mean a lot. It has to be corrected by coaches during training camp, through the season. Here we are in December beating ourselves in the head with a mallet saying, how the hell does this happen every week?
We talked about that, Dan. Glenn has talked about. We're talking about not only the defensive line, but there's so many basic things that go wrong here. Receivers have a problem catching the football. They just do. They have a problem catching the football. And I'm going to tell you what. Either if Fox stays, I'm going to say it again week after week, the problem with this team is not the players. The number one problem with this team is coaching. I'm talking coaching. And if they're going to keep Fox, there's got to be a mass exodus. And starting with that defensive line coach and the offensive receiver coach, whoever they are, pack your bags and get out of town.
Hamp and OB, the start of the show, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, sponsored by Martin Chevy. Our phone number, if you want to jump in, love to have you, 312-981-7200. Merry Christmas to all of Bear Nation out there.
That's nice. Yeah.
Better,
yeah.
We're going to run Fox out of town. And oh, by the way, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Better days ahead. Let's have some honesty. Let's have some fun today. And don't forget, this week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are cooking it up like Mama used to do. Join the search for the best comfort food, Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Hamp and OB with Kaz with you till 6 on 720 WGN. CLTV till 4 o'clock.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears lose to the Redskins 41-21. One game to go. New Year's Day at Minnesota. Hamp and OB with Kaz. Time for the Mueller game-changing moment on 720 WGN CLTV until 4 o'clock. Mueller game-changing moment sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Hampo, I think it happened early.
Yeah, it did, folks. This thing came pretty quick. We were down 7-0. We make a pretty good effort to get a drive down into the red zone. We're at the 4-yard line. We have a couple of attempts towards the goal line. We don't come up with it, so we decide we're going to go for a field goal. Field goal gets blocked because of Ted Larson. Ooh. Can't block anybody. And from that point on, Washington went 96 yards for a touchdown. Game, set, match, the way this game played out, because they took a 14-0 lead and they never looked back.
That was a rough effort by Larson. It looked like he had never done it before in his life.
He stepped away instead of down. And I mean, and I could tell you from the time we all started playing organized football as little tiny guys, we were taught to step down at that guard to the center and put your head on the hip of that guy just to keep penetration. And he went the opposite way. He went right, which is fundamentals, special teams coach, get them all on a bus.
Jeff
ship
Rogers.
Him out.
Yeah, you know
I don't
what?
Care what his name is. He's awful. You know, the fake punt, we all knew it was coming, but nice play. But again, the one nice play he had all year.
Well, we're not talking about nuclear physics here, folks. Not brain surgery. A game of football is pretty simple. 53 yards wide, it's 100 yard longs and 100 yards long, and on each end there's a thing called an end zone, and that's where you're supposed to put the ball because that's where you get the most points. Okay, we haven't done it all year. We haven't game plan. We have not game plan for four quarters, and if something goes wrong in the first half, we come out in the third quarter, we cannot make an adjustment, offensively or defensively. And I'm going back again to this 3-4 defense with Vic Fangio. And I made mention of those two teams we played. And we can't defense against them. We can't stop teams from scoring. We can't stop them from converting on third down. What's going on here?
Well, but
you know what it is? It's a coaching problem. And somebody in the tower better figure it out.
And here's the bigger issue, though, too. Even let's remove Fangio and the defense.
Well, I'm
the
Bears.
No, but let me tell you, remove that for a sec. The Bears' offense has not scored 28 points yet this year.
It's not a mystery to me.
Yeah, haven't done it. So when you
they
can't
never
score
did,
28,
Glenn,
you're in trouble.
They never did anything to set up to get into the season to do that.
Right.
They
right.
just never did, folks.
To score points, you have to sustain drives. That means a game plan. We don't have a game plan.
Right.
We run plays. And some of them work. And to the credit, some of these young players do show ability that you can build around. But a game plan, first and foremost, has to be looked at.
It should have been set before game one. That week prior to game one, what you just talked about should have been set offensively and defensively. We didn't play our guys during the exhibition season that are out there, and you think it doesn't show it? We didn't coach to win. We're not playing to win, and I'm not saying that they're playing to lose a game. They're just not getting it done. Why? Because they never practice it.
Let's take a ton of calls right after the 3:30 news, and let's remind you, the trust is everything. It's golden, and for your insurance needs, it's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
He always shows up. JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side. JeffVuk.com, 312-981-7200. Quick news break with Kim Gordon and a bunch of your calls as we look at the Bears and the Redskins and really what's going to happen going forward here as far as the offseason is concerned. A lot to do with you till 6. Right now on CLTV till 4. With you till 6 on 720 WGN.
And there's Barkley off his back foot and another interception. Josh Norman. Josh Norman down the sideline. One-handing it. And finally put down. Preston Smith put the pressure on. Matt Barkley. Another interception. 5
on the field
by Barkley today.
First down, Washington.
Really hard to believe and extremely disappointing. The Matt Barkley bandwagon tipped over a little bit today.
Lost the axles
lost
locked
its
up.
Wheels.
Yeah, they fell off. I mean, it is a lot of people underneath there.
Two of those were, you know, a direct result of a receiver batting the ball up, which was Cam Meredith, and the other one was Jay Leno getting beat for a sack, which Barkley's got to take that sack and not try to heave it down the field.
Yep, yep. Hey, who lit it up? Not Matt Barkley. Who lit it up? Sponsored by NECA, IBEW, Local 134 Chicago, your complete energy solutions provider. Kaz, go ahead.
Jordan Howard went over 100 yards today, 18 carries, 119 yards, 6.6 yard average. Of course, we just didn't give him the ball enough, but that seems to be what our play caller guy does. Not a offensive coordinator, we're just going to call him play caller.
You know, here's the thing that's just been sticking in my crawl here lately. We play the Redskins. They have, I believe, gentlemen, is that the 29th worst defense in the league?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
And worst okay, in the rush, right?
The 29th ranked defense in the league, all right? No matter how bad your offense is, hopefully you can pass and you can run and get down the field, all right? Now, again, we have Vic Fangio, folks. And I pointed out we had the second easiest schedule, and the two teams that we played against had no business playing against us. There was no chance of them to beat us. When you look at the stats here, and I know statistics are for the loser, the Redskins ran for 208 yards, folks. 208 yards. They passed for 270 yards against our vaunted 3-4 defense. Another team, again, that takes us apart, takes our defense apart. It's there. Those are the facts, and that's what it is. And it's a damn disgrace what's going on game after game after game, and somebody's got to take the brunt for it. How is it you can let them run for 208 yards? Last time I checked, they don't have the greatest running backs in the league, the greatest offensive line. How do they get over 200 yards running against us? How does Green Bay, what was it, I mean, a week against Green Bay?
A wide receiver.
A wide receiver runs for almost 170 yards against us. How's that happening?
Let's get to your calls.
312-981-7200. Jesse has been waiting the longest, and he wants to talk about the head coach, John Fox. Jesse, welcome to WGN CLTV till 4. Go ahead. Jesse. Hang on, Jesse. Maybe we have something wrong. No, we don't. Jesse, are you Jesse once? Jesse twice? Jesse gone. 312-981-7200. Calvin, go ahead, my man.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good, Calvin.
Listen, I tell
you
something. Mary. It's simple, OB. We have no pride anymore. We're not the monsters of the Midway. We're the pussycats of the Midway, maybe, but not the monsters of the Midway anymore. And not only that, Hemp, I agree with you. Hey, apparently the guy from Washington said to the block in front, hey, let me offer you a cup of coffee and a sandwich and let me back so I can block the kick. Man, there's something wrong with this team. Not only that, you got to put it on the general manager too, Mr. Pace. I'll tell you something. Tell this guy, if you ever see him on the street, tell him Calvin said, hey, a goal without a plan ain't nothing but a wish. Thanks, guys. And oh, by the way, I enjoyed the book too.
There you go,
You're
Calvin.
You're welcome, Calvin.
Merry Christmas, Calvin.
Yeah, Calvin, absolutely. Oh,
well, see, but hey, the blocked field goal is case in point about the horrible lack of fundamental coaching and technique and discipline.
Bingo.
The center cannot be hit, so that guard has to know the only way that the block will be
occur
is for someone to get penetration. So you squeeze it down. Just as simple as It was in eighth grade.
It's like waking up in the morning.
Right? Is like a stumble bum and basically gave up the inside to a thin-hipped defensive end. This wasn't some 350-pound monster. It was a pass rusher. And he just made a horrible half-ass effort. These are the things that get us beat on a daily and play-by-play basis. And it's all back. And Calvin said it right. We have no discipline. We have no desire. We have no pride. All traced back to the head coach. It all starts at the top.
I like that line by Calvin. A goal without a plan is nothing but a wish.
Yeah, or a dream, for that matter, right? Because it doesn't matter.
You know, the good thing about Calvin, I know you're still listening. I tell you what, he's got it all down. When he comes on, he's firing. He doesn't stumble through it, doesn't bubble through it. He gets bang 1 point, 2 point, 3 points, 4 points. He gets it all out there.
He's like Shoop, the wrestler, right? The Shoop. Don't face the Shoop because he'll pin you.
Calvin comes to play every week, unlike the football team. 312-981-7200. John, what's the top off-season priority? That's what you want to talk about. What do you think, John?
Yeah, hi, guys. Yeah, I agree with you that the coaching staff has to go, but what's the number one priority in the draft? Quarterback, defensive line, wide receiver, offensive line?
Offense anywhere. We need offense everywhere. The seven drafts and free agency, you go for offense. That's my opinion. All offense.
Well, you got to get O-linemen first and foremost.
You got to get a tight end.
Yeah, but the guys that are going to, you know, the guys that you know that will immediately impact you is the offensive line. And then tight end, I agree. They should have taken care of tight end this year.
Can't
but
miss.
they chose not to. So.
Well, they're going to have the number four overall pick, most likely.
It's going to be a left tackle. There's no question in my mind. Anybody with a brain.
Right.
Hey, folks, think about this. The Oakland Raiders, for the first time in 14 years back in the playoffs, they've got three guys going to the Pro Bowl on the offensive line. The Dallas Cowboys, best record in the NFC. They got three guys on the offensive line, all first-rounders, going to the Pro Bowl. There is a certain vibe there. You build the offensive line, and then moderately talented players like Cam Newton and Matt Barkley, Cameron Meredith.
Right.
They can play. They can be effective. But if your offensive line is getting beat around, nobody's going to have a happy ending.
Top guys at the top of the draft. I mean, you would think that Cleveland's probably going to take – I would think a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky, out of North Carolina.
I don't know, but I mean, if they do, it's the wrong guy because we know Cleveland does that. But you're right.
Yeah.
First of all, they got to get God on their side.
Yeah, well, that's true.
The Cleveland Browns are so bad, I'm telling you, that nobody takes ownership of them. They're just god awful.
If Trubisky's there for the Bears at four, and we don't need to do a whole draft show right now, but that would be a very tough thing for them to pass on, I would think.
Quarterback? Yeah, I guess. But I don't know if he'll be there.
A quarterback is you better have it, and I've said it for over 20 years on these damn radio stations, you better have five guys up in front that leave him standing at the end of the game. He can make you win. You can't have five dupuses up there getting knocked around and slapped around.
Right. We've got three
quarterbacks. Name of the game.
We've got three quarterbacks that have, you know, had big plans to play for us this year. All three of them are on injured reserve because of your horrible offensive line.
312-981-7200. Mitch Trubisky, too, he started for all of 1 year for Carolina. He's had one big season. So there's that when you're talking about the quarterback who's out there. Not a lot of guys that really overwhelm you.
Yeah, it's not a great quarterback class.
Deshaun Kizer.
No, it's not.
Literally, I think you start with the offensive line, and there's a few quality left tackles that are out there. I know that Jess held a long time, so let's get to him.
Jesse, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, thanks, boys. First thing, Merry Christmas. Wanted to say thank you for giving voice to the voiceless as far as fans. I just wanted to say, you guys remember day one with Foxy says the Super Bowl trophy looks mighty lonely? Well, I don't know. I think it's going to be lonely for a while. And also, I hope, if I was a betting man, I hope Fox today doesn't say about the other side getting paid. But the animal, I have a question real quick. On Jordan, when he got in the second quarter, when he got that horse collar, that penalty, I was wondering, does he get those yards added to his running yards?
Absolutely. You mean the penalty yards? No, that goes on the stat as an additional
penalty yardage, right.
Penalty yards. of 15 yards. And what? And hey, this is how bad our team is. Jay Gruden is practically a moron himself. That play should have never occurred because that. I can't remember now. What was it, Kaz?
Well, he didn't challenge the spot on third down, it was and they had it by like
exactly.
A yard.
It was third down. It was fourth down, the third down play actually gained enough for a first down. They gave him a bad spot. Well, they went for it on fourth down, and they didn't get it. And then the Bears' first play was Jordan Howard ripping off that big run where they horse-collared. That should have never happened. So we were given a break. I mean, you know, it falls into our lap. And still, we go down and we lose to a team that's got such another buffoon of a coach and Jay Gruden that should have challenged. There's most of the games I watch, guys. I don't have a whole lot of problems with the coaches not challenging certain calls. Today there was four or five, and Fox missed
sides,
one or two,
right.
And Gruden missed one or two, maybe three. So anyway, it was a miserable game. And what was really bad about today's game, guys, the two biggest stars for the Washington Redskins was DeSean Jackson at over 100 yards. He was a backbreaker, and he was a dysfunctional player that was sent down the road from the Philadelphia Eagles. And Josh Norman, the corner that I think is a poor player but got a big contract because Carolina wanted to unload him. They didn't want him no more. And both those players we make look like superstars today.
312-981-7200 if you want to jump on in before we go to break. OB, what's up?
Yeah, I just want to say this, and this is to all of our listeners. And I came over here last year, and I'm very proud to be in a situation that I'm at. And to our listeners, let me tell you something. You know, you wish every game that you could come out and you see the good things during the game and that you could come out and say wonderful things about a quarterback, about a center, about the offensive line play, the game planning, aggressiveness. You know, you go on and on. I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm sick of – I mean, I come out and I hammer and fire, and we all do, but the point being is this. We are not going to tiptoe through the tulips on this show. What you see, and we're going to put it down, and we're going to tell you what we see and what went on in that game. That's what I believe in. That's what we believe in. We're not going to like, oh, well, it could have been this. Well, it should have been that. Well, we'll be looking forward to next week. Yeah, the hell we are. Not in your life. We're going to tell it what it was like and give you all the information that we have. And I hope you people love it, because I'll tell you what, I sure do.
You know, in the 12 losses this year, all of them, we're in the conference. We'll watch it, and we're pulling for the Bears, and yet we see, you know, a horribly prepared team that little things can make huge amounts of differences in the performance and chance of winning. But I don't think I've ever been so pathetically sick at my stomach as I was today watching how this team, and you might say they flew around. Against Detroit and Green Bay, they had a lot more effort. Today, there's a bunch of guys going through the motions, waiting to get their check and get the hell out of town. And that goes back to Fox, too.
There was no game plan today, guys. There was absolutely no game plan.
312-981-7200. We were very positive last week. I mean, I called it a great loss.
And you guys
said a lot of nice things. They played well last week overall for them.
Mark, let me
great
tell you
loss,
something.
Great loss, orange slices, green ribbons, and rainbows.
Participation trophies.
Right. In the last 70 years, and again, saying that the Bears are the footing and the foundation of the National Football League, we've won the world championship twice. In 70 years.
Hard to believe.
And you go back to 85 when the Bears, that year, I don't think I've ever seen a better team in my life. They were the youngest team in the National Football League. They never made it back. They never even got back to the Super Bowl to win it or lose it. It's tough. You got to have smart people. You got to have tough people.
30 plus, it'll be 32 years coming up when we get to 2017. All right. 312-981-7200, Hamp. You got
something? Barkley throws five interceptions. Our defense comes up with nothing once again. We had the lowest number of turnovers in the league a year ago, and now the stocking's still empty.
It's not even turnovers. They don't even bat down balls.
There's no batting, no pressure, no secondary making a break on the ball. Nothing that creates turnovers.
This was my point when we opened up the show about Vic Fangio, and he's a genius in a 3-4 defense and came in there, and we're gonna do everything with this defense. I haven't seen it so far. That's for sure. The fans haven't seen it, and our records show it. My God, we play against horrible football teams, and we can't devise a scheme to stop a quarterback who can't play dead? You tell me.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with this quarterback. Yeah, his little numbers sound okay when you read them off. I'm just telling you, this was a team looking to find a place to crawl in a hole. And what do? We let them dominate us all day.
Let's take a quick timeout. Get your calls coming on back here with you till 6 on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Merry Christmas. Bears do lose big time to the Washington Redskins, 41-21. Let's try to find with a microscope the defensive star of the game, which is brought to you by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hamp, who do you got?
Well, and, you know, again, here's a game where we had no sacks. We barely touched the quarterback twice during the course of the game. He had no interceptions, one pass defense by somebody named Jonathan Banks, who we don't even know who he is. And the reason he's out there is because the gutless Kyle Fuller doesn't want to come off the injured reserve list because he says, oh, I don't feel like it. Well, guess what? It all falls down to Jarrell Freeman, who comes back after a suspension of a month for PEDs. So, Jarrell Freeman, you're going to be the guy because you had 8 tackles today and nobody else was even close.
And he plays hard. I mean, he flies around. He still gets emotional. He was upset at the end of the game when they had that long run for a touchdown, screaming at people and barking about the fact that, you know, get some pride. So, yeah, he's one guy that has pride.
Thanks to our friends at CLTV as we were with you till close to 4 o'clock over on the television. Now with you till 6 o'clock on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. We will hear from John Fox after 4 o'clock. Yes, OB?
We have to listen to him.
Well, maybe 30 seconds
after
or so.
After the show's over.
Yeah.
Well, if he gives us his address, we'll shoot on over and deliver boxes for him.
You know,
how's
Dan,
that?
Dan brought up a point here. You know,
free delivery.
Pass rush, do we even really get to the quarterback? Like today, we never got to the quarterback. So, about 30 passes or so?
I think 28.
29.
29. 29 passes he attempted, okay? And they ran for over 200 yards. Wouldn't you think defensively, the quality control people that go back 2 or 3 games at the Redskins, break it down, all our tendencies, what they're going to do on their side of the field, our side when they're going for a touchdown. Wouldn't you figure that you could come up with some kind of a scheme, some kind of a blitzing scheme to get to Kirk Cousins one time? We're not talking about the New England Patriots here. We're talking about the Washington Redskins. And we didn't get to him one time, not one time, and we can't find a way to get to him defensively with our defensive line, with our line tricks, with our blitzes.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, right, it is.
And here's the thing. Washington got their Pro Bowl left tackle back this week. Okay, that's great. But still, Ed, you're right. Look, if you blitz more than 5, you're going to get to the quarterback.
Glenn,
they don't have enough guys to
protect
them.
We're not blitzing. We're not getting there. It's been that way all year long. What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for? My God, make a statement. Go after somebody and try to take them out and win the football game. Just like last week, they should have went for the touchdown. Take the Packers out. It was right there in front of you.
But the problem was, and you and I talked about it, you'd have Loggins call that fourth down play, and you and I both don't want that because he doesn't know how to call a fourth down play to win.
Well, before we go to break, I just want to say this. I've been around here a long time. Grew up in the area. When I was a little kid, my dad would they take me, and we could just barely afford, if you could even get standing room on only
you're
seats.
You're just peering over that little, and,
absolutely.
Wall looking down.
And you'd go, my brother Milan and I, and I have never, when they panned that stadium today, folks, I have never seen that stadium, or whether it was in Wrigley Field, wherever we played, I have never seen it that empty in my life. I have never seen it that empty.
They had 38,000 in the building when it started. At the end, they had three people, maybe seven.
No, that's 12.
There was 12?
12 to
15. You want to know what?
If, waiting for free gloves for George, and things like that, right?
For George McCaskey. For George McCaskey, George, you better start thinking about it, because I'll tell you what, you've got a situation where the coaching staff, first of all, I don't think Pace knows how to draft, and our coaches are a mess. They're a total mess.
Quick timeout. Lot to do in the 4 o'clock hour, 720 WGN.
Barkley stepping up and drills it, and the pass is going to be caught. Close, 32 yards. It'll be first and goal for the Bears. Here's the handoff, and Jeremy Langford pushing in. Touchdown! High fives on Christmas Eve for the fans here at Soldier Field.
There were some high fives. That's true, Dick Stockton. Thank you to Fox for the highlight. Bears lose to the Redskins 41-20. When Cameron Meredith did have a decent day. If you're looking for positives, it's hard to find them. It's time now for
he's played well all year.
He really has.
Consistently,
but Kaz, on
a
that
little
slant.
Bit with him, yeah, little work teaching him some of the basic fundamentals. He could be a beast of a player.
He could really bloom and flourish with the proper coaching.
Yes,
he was thrown at 12 times. He had 9 catches for 135 yards. I think you want to do who brought it. I think Cam Meredith. He had one touchdown, a beauty, in the back corner of the end zone, and was kind of cheated out of that one that we heard on the bumper coming in. So of all the receivers, he had the best day. Alshon was targeted 10 times, only came up with 5 catches. And one of the picks that Barkley threw, and it wasn't a good pass, but Alshon made virtually no effort to spike it down and prevent the interception, just like Bellamy did at the end zone. It was into triple coverage, horrible play, maybe the worst pass Matt Barkley will ever throw as a Chicago Bear into triple coverage. But Bellamy did nothing to knock the ball down and allowed the interception.
It didn't convert over to white defensive back. And every wide receiver understands when the ball's in the air and if the DB has position on you, you got to get the ball to the ground, and it's something that you work on, you talk about, and because that next play, you might have a chance to make
you beat
the
it into their heads.
Yes.
Who brought it is sponsored by your Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card. You know what to bring through it all. OB, what's cooking over there?
Nothing. I don't like okay. Who brought it. I couldn't even come up with a name.
Meredith has improved. A young guy, young kid. There's some young players that have some talent on this team, but they're not being coached.
Well, here,
and that's really the truth.
That's another point. We sit here and watched. Just we'll talk about Alshon Jeffrey. We watched him all year long. Now, especially last half of the season. Dan, chime in on this. Glenn, chime in on this. We watch this guy run pass routes, even when he's the targeted guy. If somebody tells me that guy's given his all and he's got that jettison going every stride and trying to get separation, just watch him. Just watch him.
I think you're talking about Alshon Jeffrey. It's almost like it's a fast jog.
That's what he said, yeah. Right,
that's
right.
We're perplexed.
You said it right.
You know, this NFL is played by some of the great athletes in the country. And if you think you can just jog routes and you're going to be special and you're going to be everything you can be to your team, well, you're mistaken. You're delusional.
You know what? We watch it up here week after week, and what's awfully hard for me to believe, that's another situation that's not corrected. And how can they let that guy go out? And to me, he just saunters along, goes out, and that's what he does. I don't get it, and I never will understand it. And I wondered, like, the coach, Glenn, the coach has got to be seeing this. Receiver coach has got to be seeing this.
Curtis Johnson.
Hey, Alshon, come on. You got to make that cut. You got to make that break. You got to make that hitch, and you got to cut. You got to go in, and you got to do it now.
Right.
He hasn't been doing it.
So no, I mean, look, even curl routes. Cameron Meredith, last week he had a ball knocked down because when he came out of his break, he stood tall and didn't go back towards the football.
They don't fight for the ball.
But he stopped. And, Dan, you and I talked about it. If he takes one step forward, like he's going back to the ball, easy catch, and it's a first down. That's a little thing that you could actually teach and work on.
In 10th grade.
And work on and get the kid to do that. Now, keep in mind, this is a guy that always played quarterback, so wide receivers do for him. So these are the things.
But how many times did I was never in an offensive meeting, and I heard it a million times
right,
a year.
Come back to the ball. The catch happens if you come back to the ball.
If you turn your numbers to the quarterback, you better be coming back at him.
Right.
312-981-7200. A little bit more on Alshon in a second, but let's get Jim on the program. Go ahead, Jim. Thanks for being patient. You're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. What I have to say is this. They need a new coach, and they need a new coach very quickly. And I believe the coach should be Mike Singletary. He has gone through and he's seen everything else that hasn't worked for him. And now I think he's ready. Hampton, I remember you over Singletary, and I remember with Michael on the bench in Green Bay, and how you guys worked each other plays out. So they will work in the field, and I believe he's the right guy for it.
Jim,
thank you very much.
Jim, are you crying?
Yeah, because I think this is disgusting.
Right, there's a guy that loves his Bears.
You know,
he loves
Jim,
his Bears team.
That's
Jim,
beautiful,
Merry
Jim.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Hey, Merry
to
Christmas
you,
to you, Jim. Hey, folks, fans, let me just tell you this. So I had my friend John with me, and we're leaving the stadium today. I dropped my daughter off. And all the Bear fans and their jerseys and they're going to the hey, it's Christmas Eve, and they're dedicating 6, 8, 10 hours of their day to be a fan, to buy the tickets, to pay for parking, to pay for the
200 plus a ticket, I might add.
And this is the crap that the McCaskies are expecting everybody to swallow and say, well, next year we're going to get better. We're going to magically transform this coaching staff into a coaching staff that Alshon respects and will make razor cuts and run routes and not jog them. We're going to transform this defensive line that's actually going to be in good pass rushing stances, and they're going to stay square to the line of scrimmage. By the McCaskies allowing John Fox and this miserable bunch that he's assembled as coaches to stay another year is just another year of daggers into the hearts and souls
of guys
of Bear
like Jim.
Fans, just like Jim.
Yep.
And I feel for you. And like I said, I saw 3 hours of misery today. And you know what? It's Christmas Eve. I'm making a Christmas wish. Please, please. I don't know if Mike Singletary is the right guy, but I know one thing. The guy we got's the wrong guy.
Hampton will be sponsored by Martin Nissan. And a reminder, weeknights on WGN-TV, it's politically incorrect in primetime. Watch an hour of 2.5 Men followed by an hour of Last Man Standing with Tim Allen. Weeknights 7 to 9 on WGN-TV. Jim, you're the call of the show, man. I see you're still on.
I got to tell you, though, Ed, you know, you talk about it all the time. And I'm sorry, Mark, you were making Jim the call of the show. Are you going to give him something?
I was.
We'll throw him something, and I got a question for Ed.
Well, Jim, you're on hold there. Just Dan.
I've got something to give him.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do. I have the book.
Okay,
good.
I have the book, Jim. The
Monsters of the Midway. There you go.
Hey, but here's my question to you, Ed, and it's real simple. You know, you talk about it. You grew up here. You talk about when you were a little kid.
Yep.
You went to the game with your dad. You sat up in the seats that were not seats. I mean, you just standing room only. And you couldn't wait to do it. A guy like Jim, I mean, doesn't that just rip at your heart? Because here's a guy that his whole week, everything he's doing is for this one day, and what does he get? He gets garbage.
Yeah.
He gets lack of effort. He gets all this other stuff. What do you say to a guy like that?
By multimillionaires that, in an arrogant way, aren't caring enough about being a member of the Chicago Bears. To them, they don't care if it's Tampa
or whoever. Franchise.
I'm just getting a check. You find the right coaching staff that will make guys like Kyle Fuller realize you're with us or you're not, or you're out. And, you know, to keep him around and allow him to bastardize what this team is trying to do
it's
this year,
okay
hiding behind
scope,
some ticky-tack little injury.
Scope. Give me a break. But, Ed, the question was thrown to you. How do you answer that?
Well, I could tell you what, Glenn. I'm out and about all week. North side, south side, west side, downtown, all over. And I hear this so much from at different degrees, though, Glenn. Some are just, you know, the Bears, I love them, but I can't take any more. To hell with them. And the others, I stick with them. Ed, when can they get better? I love them, and on, and go on and on. And I'll tell you, is there a total and one answer to answer all those questions? No, there isn't. The only thing is that you hope that up in the Eiffel Tower that common sense prevails. All right?
So
sure,
we're pleading with
players,
George McCaskey right
but,
now.
Right,
right.
But the key is, my God, is coaching. Folks, and I mean, you just can't get these players because they think they're all well, professional football players. I'm making $7 million. You know, I know more than the coaches. No, you don't. You've got to be coached. You've got to be taught. And the one thing that if they go out and if they look for another coach, I'm telling you, you better look at somebody that has the knowledge, the common sense of a Bill Belichick, of a Mike McCarthy. When you hear those people talk, Jim, when you hear those coaches talk and those general managers, they start out with the only words that they use is Super Bowl. You heard Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. What do they talk about? They don't talk about being 8-8, okay? They don't talk about being 9-7. The words at the beginning of the year, in the middle of the year, and at the end of the year, it's about the Super Bowl. That's what it's about, being a world champion. And if you don't have ownership, if you don't have a general manager, and if you don't have a head coach, position coach, that understand this, then as far as I'm concerned, here in Chicago, get the hell out of this town.
Hey, it's 312-981-7200. With you till 6 o'clock. Hopefully we'll hear from Matt Barkley. Also going to talk to Adam Hoge right after 4:30. And talking to you, 312.
Why'd you have to ask me that question?
Oh, well, because it's important. I mean, you're a lifetime Bear fan. You're
yes,
a lifetime player.
Yes,
you're a guy that understands how it all began. You were
right in
the trenches in the beginning. So it means more. And coming from you means even more to the fans out there.
312-981-7200. Love the passion, OB. 720 WGN. Wow. 720 WGN, by far his worst game in a Bears uniform. Real disappointing for those of us who are championing Matt Barkley, and let's remind ourselves that he hasn't exactly played a ton in the league, and young quarterbacks do have terrible outings, but today was a bad one. 5 picks. Let's hear from the quarterback, Matt Barkley, after the game at Soldier Field.
I mean, just in a game when the touchdowns are mounting up, you just got to say one play at a time. And so positive or negative, just series to series, you got to just read your concepts right to left, or 1, 2, 3, whatever they are. And not try to, again, do too much.
What was their defense doing, if anything, that stood out to you?
Nothing in particular that made us, that surprised us. It was just a matter of winning matchups and making smart decisions, and we did a lot of that, and we didn't do that at times.
As far as positives go, can you take us through the touchdown pass to Cam?
Yeah, it was a great route where he got on top. There's a post outside that kind of held the corner coming underneath, so he did a really good job of finding that pylon, and I just put it out there knowing he'd be there.
What have you come to appreciate about Cam as you've worked through game situations with him over an extended period here?
He plays hard, and I think his yaks and the way he just always wants to keep moving after the catch is impressive. And he's grown in a lot of ways, and in regards to just finding open windows and feeling the defense, not just running his route like it says on paper. And so he's grown a lot even since when I first got here, just his maturity in the offense.
You talked before within the last week about nothing holding you back. You felt like nothing is holding me back here. When you come out of a game like today and you look back on some of these decisions, where do you go right for the solution here then when you say, you know, nothing's standing in your way?
I think I was standing in my way today, just on my own head of trying to do too much and trying to win the game. And when we were down, you just got to still treat it as a 0-0 game and make smart decisions with the ball and give our guys a chance to win.
There you go, Matt Barkley trying to do too much. I don't think anybody would argue with that. Hey, real quick, DJ, welcome to 720 WGN.
Got to turn down your radio, DJ.
Okay.
I want to know what's up with Tracy Porter. His coverage is just completely terrible.
Well, he's the one guy that I would say, and Dan was going to go over the injured reserve list, that will show up every week, injured or not, and play. That's one thing I will say. So you're right. He's probably a step behind, but he's the one player that will continue to try and go out and play and play with some guts.
You're exactly right. And, yeah, so, okay, on one hand, you want to give him a attaboy because he's been on the injured reserve, on the injury list for 12 straight weeks. He gets his knee drained, but he goes and he practices and he plays, unlike Kyle Fuller. But think about this. Crevon LeBlanc was inactive today. Callahan, inactive today. We had somebody named Jonathan Hall out there. We had DeAndre Hall. We had a bunch of guys that nobody even knows their names.
Right.
I'm looking here for a list of some of these players. And more importantly, yeah, we want to slap Vic Fangio around saying, what kind of a genius are you? But look what he's got to play with out there. And you're right. Porter, he's not having the year he did a year ago. The knee, whether you want to give him an out with an injury, he's not the same cover guy we had a year ago.
Quick timeout, Adam Hoge from Soldier Field with the locker room reaction as the Bears fall to the Washington Redskins, 41-21. With you till 6 on 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Congratulations to the Cleveland Browns.
One at home, too,
who actually beat... Dan, hit your button in there. Thank you, my man. The Cleveland Browns actually won a football game. They beat your Chargers, Kaz.
Yeah,
Cleveland wins, we get embarrassed on Christmas Eve.
Something wrong with that, right?
Yeah, George McKeskey, we're begging you here.
They will not join the 2008 Detroit Lions, who went 0-16. Hey, let's bring in our guy Adam Hoge, working hard. His final game at Soldier Field this year, probably emotional. Adam Hoge's Locker Room Report, sponsored by C.J. Wilson, Mazda online at ZoomNation.com. Adam, we had one caller got emotional on how bad the Bears are. Are you getting emotional leaving Soldier Field for the last time?
Not really, but, Jake Rudin called this an unbelievable atmosphere to play in.
That's hard.
Why? Because there was nobody there? Or because,
yeah,
I mean, what was it, like 38,000 no-shows today?
Here's the
number. I mean, big number.
Here's the number on the tickets. 57,593. That's tickets distributed. Actual attendance.
That's not even a sellout. Yeah.
Right, not a sellout. Actual attendance, 39,837. So that's under 40 for those math challenged, which includes myself. That's 18,116 no-shows. And that also means overall, with the tickets not bought, you've got 21,663 empty seats. So two-thirds, basically. Two-thirds full. Is that
21,000 empty seats. And Jay the Joker Gruden says it was an unbelievable atmosphere.
Well, I would say it, too, if I'm putting up 41 points against the Bears team. Hey, Adam, again, I get late in the season you start emptying your bench and trying to play different players. But Hamp and I, we discussed the injured reserve list. And really, there's about three players that are truly impactful players that the Bears are missing out of that big group of guys missing. Why? Why are they so just awful? making, you know, grown men cry.
Yeah, I think I've come on here in recent weeks and tried to search for positives, talk about the injuries, and probably made too many excuses. I mean, today was just a flat. And so that's what it was. It was a flat performance. They did not come out with the same competitiveness I think they've at least had in the last few weeks. I can't make any excuses for them today. I think it was a poor performance, offense, defense. Actually, for once, maybe the special teams was their strongest of the three units. And the coaching, too. There wasn't – John Fox said he thought they were as competitive as they've been, but I don't
agree
with that.
He makes no sense, so who cares what he says?
Yeah, whatever he says, it's the opposite, and he's hiding behind the IR list all year saying, we're so injured that, we gave a great effort. No, the team did not – they did not play as hard as they have the last couple of weeks. So what else did he want to try to spin it?
Well, and how great was it to – he finally uses his timeout late in the game, and they bust off a 61-yard run for him on him.
Yes.
After they probably would, the game would have been over had he not called those timeouts.
And, Freeman was livid about it because he's like, what are we doing?
But hey,
I couldn't help but laugh at that. I mean, a little bit of karma there.
Adam, the one thing that we've seen all year, is incompetence in our coaches. And what do I mean by that? You look at from game one to this final game here today, and then, of course, obviously we got one more game. But what you've seen from week to week on both sides of the ball, we don't have the ability to put a game plan together for four quarters to win a game in the National Football League. It rings out at you. Offensively and defensively, when we're ahead in the second half, we can't stop the team from scoring. We do not ring true in the coaching staff. We do not have a game plan from game one. And when you get into the second half, if we're losing, where's the adjustments? The problem is there are no adjustments. The competence on this, or the incompetence of this coaching staff, rings true, rings strong. And that's, you talk about the main problem with the Bears, as I see it, from game one to game 15, we're not good enough to put a game plan offensively to win, and we're not good enough to put a game plan together for the defense to stop anybody, to give us a chance to win. That's what I see about the Bears for 15 games in the 2016 season.
I think that was glaring today too, right? Because they really were outcoached on both sides of the football. I mean, there's even that one play where Fangio brings the house and
they run a screen, right?
A perfect screen, and it's an easy touchdown. So there are plenty of examples of that. I think you're right, especially offensively with the lack of adjustments. I mean, what was the adjustment last week? Finally throwing the ball to Alshon Jeffery after not doing so for three quarters. And that's really the depth of it. So I think that was pretty evident today. I mean, they were out executed in every phase, and they were out coached too.
Hey, final question for you, Adam. Do you see, from your position and just being up there week in and week out and spending time, is there a chance that we may have a complete sweeping, a coaching staff of big changes, including John Fox? Or do you see this as maybe flushing the toilets on the coordinators and skilled position guys?
Yeah, I mean, I would still be surprised. But I got to say, today was a pretty tough atmosphere to be sitting in this building and look at. Now, yes, it's Christmas Eve, and yes, we're talking about a bad football team. And I don't blame the fans for not showing up. But if you're the McCaskey sitting here today and seeing that place a third empty, probably more, to be honest with you, and the fans left early, the ones that were here, I mean, it was empty by the end of the game. That's got to stick with you. But, look, a couple years ago when we went through this, there were talks of, a huge meeting that took place. And this was before the season was over. They were clearly already debating this. And that kind of talk hasn't existed here this year. So would I rule it out? No. But would I be surprised if they do clean house with the coaching staff? Yes, I would be. Let's also keep in mind there's $10 million left on John Fox's contract, which I think does matter as much as it maybe shouldn't. So it's something else to keep in mind. So maybe some changes with the coordinators, assistants, but I'd be surprised if they clean the coaching staff out completely.
Would it have to be a complete debacle in Minnesota next week? Maybe would be maybe that, you know, because it, you know, hey, if they go 0-3 here down the stretch and each week it looks worse, I don't know. But you're right. You're probably right.
I would question, though, I mean, does next week really matter? Shouldn't you already made up your mind based on what you've seen?
Yes, yes.
Adam, I think today was the exclamation point on the entire season. And you made a brilliant observation saying the Washington Redskins, who were left for roadkill Monday night after Carolina went in there and mauled them, Washington, they looked like a team that was ready to turn it in. And you know what? We played so poorly, so inept, that we not only emboldened them, but here they rip us for 41 points in a laugher. And you know what? John Gruden thinks it's the most amazing. Jay Gruden, their coach, that says it's an amazing atmosphere because we presented no obstacle to them trying to win a football game. In the NFL, every game should be a battle, a war. Today, we threw our skirt up and said, hey, we're going to go through the motions because guess what? We're getting a paycheck Tuesday no matter what, and tomorrow's Christmas. We don't care. That's the way they played. That's the way it looked.
And I think, just quick follow-up. I think it's a great point you brought up with the Monday Nighter. I thought the Bears were going to win today because I looked at this like – Washington was the team that looked flat on Monday, had a short week, wouldn't be as prepared. That obviously was not the case. It was the Bears that looked like they were, you know, just a hurry to get out of here and go home to their families today and on Christmas Eve. And the other team was obviously more motivated.
Adam, the injury report is brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. A bunch of guys banged up today, but let's talk Leonard Floyd. Another concussion, carted off the field in the second quarter. What do you know about Leonard?
Yeah, the only, I guess, positive that I was able to gather, because I was trying to see, you know, maybe how severe this might be, because it is his second concussion in about a month and a half, and the last time he was, you know, taken to the hospital with a neck injury. It's scary stuff. But Pernell McPhee said he did talk to Leonard Floyd, and he was in good spirits. So maybe that's a positive because he looked really distraught when he was taken off the field, a head buried in his hands, towel over his head. And you just, you're hoping that that's not a serious injury. If I'm the Bears, though, I keep him out next week. I mean, why play him at this point? Got to get him ready for next year, just like your other first-round pick.
Well, I mean, Kirk Cousins juked him on the first play of the game anyway. So really, what's the difference whether he's in or not? I mean, you know, he's – for every impact, he has five horrific plays.
Well, you're talking about a huge first-round draft pick who's had multiple concussions in his first season.
Oh, I get it. No, I understand what you're saying. I'm with you.
And what worried me, guys, was he was down. Like I want to say it was the first or second series of the game. He took a shot on a huge collision in the middle, like in the mix of everything, right, and was down on the ground for a couple seconds and then got back up. But he was clearly shaken up. And he stayed in the game. And then I don't know if he took another hit after that, but if he did, that's sometimes where you get these scary head injuries that really linger a long time when you take one shot and then you take another one immediately following. So that's what I was personally worried about.
Well, only time will tell on that, but you're right. There's no reason to play the kid.
Hey, one last thing. We listened to Barkley. He almost, you know, seemed pretty casual about the five-interception performance. But, you know, we could say, hey, you know, he should have took the sack and not throw up the prayer that Norman got that cripple duck on. Cam Meredith had one bounce off his hand straight into the safety's hand. And Bellamy in triple coverage, a horrible idea to throw it at him in triple coverage, but Bellamy made no effort to knock it down. You know, sooner or later, you know, and you look at the scars that Cutler's had to carry now for 8 years, don't you think that these will start to add up and put the ghost back in his head?
Yeah, I mean, because this is a guy who has been playing with confidence. But now all of a sudden you look up and you see the stats, 7 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. That's a lot of interceptions to have in 6 games. That's, you know, that's 2 a game. So they're starting to add up. I think you're seeing a guy that clearly, I think I've said this to you multiple times, a good enough arm strength, but not the kind of arm strength that can overcome a bad technique, bad fundamentals, throwing right off the back of your foot.
That's what he did today. You're right. Yeah, from the first quarter on, it was horrible.
So that's why you're seeing every once in a while, oh, here's a great throw. He got into a tight window. But that's when he's, you know, setting his feet, and following stepping through, doing all the things you need to do. When he doesn't do that, the ball flutters, it floats, and you're seeing a combination of him making bad decisions with bad technique, and then all of a sudden the ball's floating in the air, and it's an easy interception.
It was a big blow for the Matt Barkley supporters today. There's no way around it.
The wagon wheels came off, no question. Mark and I were riding shotgun at him, and we just both did nosedives right onto the ground.
Yeah.
I was ready to drive that train right to Canton.
And we just fell.
I think we're all in agreement. They got to find a new quarterback.
Well, they need a lot of things, you know,
right,
wide receiver, O-line. But, you know, they got to start up front, though, before they do anything else.
I mean, you got guys like Gil Brandt and a lot of other people around the NFL saying that Matt Barkley's something. And then
he is. I mean, but look, it still doesn't change the fact that you have so many holes on offense that
right.
There's a lot of work ahead, and I'm not sure that I trust this coaching staff to be able to coach if you bring in the right players.
Gentlemen.
So, Adam, have a great Christmas, buddy.
This
Merry Christmas, guys.
Thank you, Adam.
Matt Barkley. We bring in Matt Barkley into a hurricane. Okay? The season's over with.
Everything's over with. A tough deal.
And we're going to bring him in, and he's going to save us because everybody's going to play good. When we don't have enough guys that can play good to begin with.
Well, Alshon Jeffrey, lack of running heart, Ed, it incenses me.
You got to have guys up front.
And he's
like
a captain. This is a team voted for position. And, you know, to have a guy like that as a captain that's jogging routes just galls me to no end.
Oh, you know what? Such a disrespectful behavior.
What Dan said, and we talked about earlier, folks, for you people to take that game, just watch Alshon Jeffrey run pass routes. Just watch.
It's embarrassing.
It's laughable. It is. It's truly laughable.
The Bears captains today, Matt Barkley, Pernell McPhee, Alshon Jeffrey, Mitch Unrein, Sherrick McManus, Logan Paulson.
Why? Why Paulson?
That's 3-12 right there.
You know what?
There's the 3-12 record.
I like to say something about that, about captains.
McPhee's the only one that will at least go out in the field and do something, play hard.
You know, back in it, we've got him. We would have 4 captains, 5 captains, 3, whatever it was. You know, and every team had him. One team had one guy that was the captain of the team. And at the coin toss, when you go out, you know, flip the coin toss.
Right, right.
Whenever we played the Baltimore Colts, I was just amazed. And who was their captain? Their great defensive end, Gino Marchetti. And he would walk out on the field like Man Mountain Dean, one guy, he is the captain for the whole team. And we got about 5 guys out there.
And we
shaking his head. And I'm going to tell you what, it looked like, oh my God. Who's this giant man and playing against who? These idiots?
We send Sherrick McManus out.
Go get him.
That's what I loved about it. They just, the one captain rule.
I love that.
Dan, it was great. It was unbelievable. And that was the only team. One captain.
312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. We're here till 6. Thanks to Mr. Submarine. Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine. Grab a sub. Packed with delicious meat, cheese, veggies, fresh baked Toronto bread. Thank you to Mr. Submarine. That was Adam Hogue. That was the last time from Soldier Field. One more trip for him up to Minnesota.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Submarine, they really do, folks, a great job.
Very, very,
it's
really
unbelievable.
Very consistent all season long. It's 720 WGN. Hamp and OB with Kaz. Got some of the games going on in here. Oakland pounding the Indy Colts 33-7. The Raiders, I don't know. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year. Who's coming out of that AFC other than the Patriots? Because everyone's picking the Patriots.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah? Really?
Okay. Oakland, Pittsburgh will give New England all they want. Trust me.
Interesting. And the NFC? You like the Cowboys?
The Cowboys, Seahawks? You know, Seattle's not playing so well today, but they find a way to win games in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Dallas still, for as good as they've been this year, I just it's hard to buy into them. So we'll see. You know, they get to the playoffs, we'll see. Different game.
I have one thing to say about it. New England, are they going to be there? Yes, they are. Now, how are you going to beat New England?
In New England, especially.
All right, exactly. They got it all the way through, their home field advantage. The only way I see it, Danny, if Pittsburgh gets there, somebody, they've got a blitz.
Got to get
not
to Brady.
Not that you're going to sack Brady, but you got to make him move in that pocket. And if you can, get him out of the pocket, and you got to do it constantly. Because if you don't, he's just like Peyton Manning. He's going to eat you alive. So whoever plays New England, watch and see. I don't care if it's the Steelers or Oakland, whoever it might be. I'll guarantee you they'll come with a blitz package, second to none.
Patriots beat the Jets 41-3, which is not good for the Bears. You'd like to see the New York Jets get another win. They're sitting at 4, but that was not going to happen versus the Patriots. The other game of interest for the Bears as far as draft picks go, and I know that's not the most favorite topic around here, but the L.A. Rams are leading the 49ers 14-7. The Rams are also sitting there with 4 wins, so you'd like to see the Rams get another victory.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, look, the Bears are going to – they're not beating Minnesota next week. I mean, come on.
You wouldn't think.
There's no way, and Minnesota's season is pretty much over also, but they just play better defense.
Minnesota's season is over.
How would you like to be one of the few guys on that team that really cares, Glenn? And they're going up there, and they're going to play their heart out, okay? When you got guys fluffing around, just trying not to get hurt or do whatever.
Jogging routes.
That is, hey, Dan, I played long enough where I've seen it. It does happen.
It's going to be must-see TV.
Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, Tracy Porter supposedly was incredible, according to Adam Hogue in the postgame show. So we're going to hear what one of the Bears veterans has to say about their effort. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Merry Christmas. Hope you're having a safe Christmas Eve. Stores are closing. Target's open till 10, though. If you don't have a gift and you need something, I'm here to tell you, you can go to Target till 10 tonight.
Can't you go, can you turn on my mic? Thanks.
My bad.
Your first week working in
yes.
radio?
Yes, it is.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I thought Amazon or something can sure, deliver can. Up until like 10 o'clock tonight.
You can order Amazon right now and get it delivered by 10?
By midnight, yeah.
Really?
They are guaranteed, but it's only in certain cities. I think Chicago's one of them.
See, I'm an old school guy, because I like to go into the store. I like to pick out
so
my
do
gift.
I. I'm just saying, I heard that on the news yesterday, that Amazon up until 10 o'clock tonight.
Okay. Kohl's and those level stores, they're all closing at 6, so you got 50 minutes. Anyway,
why wouldn't Kohl's stay up until 9?
Because people have Christmas Eve. They want to be with their families. Right, OB?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's get back on track here. Bears lost, by the way, to the Redskins, 41-21. They're 3-12.
How many times do we have to go on track there?
Drive of the Game is sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Hamp?
Well, it was the fateful blocked field goal that essentially did us in early in the game. The Redskins took over. It took them all of 57 seconds to go 80 yards. For a touchdown to put them up 14-0.
10-point swing.
We
like that. Boom.
You mean, wait a minute. We can't, 60 minutes of football, and we can't even come up with the drive of the game?
Not for the
Chicago
Bears. The Bears. No.
Nope. Everything we did was basically catch up, you know, mess up after that.
I tried to promote the Barkley to Cameron Meredith right before the end of the half, 30 seconds to go. Made it a 10-point game, but Hamp vetoed me.
Well, it's inconsequential.
I mean, the 14-0 was it.
That was a 10-point swing, as Kaz said. I mean, plays matter. A blocked field goal and turn the ball over, and they go 5 plays for 80 yards in less than a minute. That's
a game changer.
Well, here,
right.
You know what? We get all the free agents. We go out and get them defensively, offensively, Massey on the line, and we make drafts and we get rid of a guy like Slauson and bring in and draft him. To me, you never should have drafted. And we did all this to make, hopefully, this season and get us right back on the track, which I thought because we had the second easiest schedule in the National Football League. And brings me back to this point again. I can't hammer it home enough. How is it that our offensive coordinator cannot put together from week to week to week in playing some real horrible football teams, put a game plan together quarters and try to win a game defensively? How is it that we can go week after week playing against some pathetic teams and we can't put a scheme together? My God, they even, like Jacksonville, Bortles, their quarterback, who can't even play dead, and we're playing them at home, and we can't put a game plan defensively to stop him? Offensively and defensively? That's the crime. That's the disgrace of the Chicago Bears. Having this coaching staff, not being able to put a game plan together to win. It's mind-boggling. It shows you how inept we are at a thing called coaching.
Let me put a little tag on that. Now, when things in the course of a game change, there are two responses. You can react or respond. Now, when you react, it's normally when you do something and it's a poorly thought out reflex to something bad that's happened. They just blocked a field goal. We need to make a statement. We need to settle down. How do we react? We allow them to go 80 yards in five plays for a touchdown that basically blows the game up. Now, the proper way is to respond. And a smart coordinator, whether it's offense or defense, or as a head coach, is to react in a planned, well thought out manner with a game plan. Not by the seat of your pants. And there's a huge difference. Smart coaches respond. Dumbasses react.
Dan, and you, exactly.
Amen.
Like, we're playing at home, our last home game, and the team we played, the Redskins, believe me, folks, they're not a juggernaut, okay? This is a game we could have had. And again, we can't put something together, and if it, you know, I can't beat on it enough, folks. If you don't think that there's a coaching problem on the Chicago Bears 2016 coaching staff, you're delusional. There's a huge problem here. They're not communicating to the players. That is obvious. There's a lack of communication. Why? I don't know. But there's a lack of communication offensively and defensively to get their points and our ideas and their philosophy across to the players. It's not working.
Hamp and OB, 5 o'clock hour, start of it, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Adam Hogue was in the locker room. Tracy Porter was despondent, emotional, disappointed, there's a word, in how the Bears played today. Let's hear what Tracy Porter had to say.
So were they doing well today in the pass game?
Everything, man. It's shitty performance by me, man. I embarrassed my teammates, Bears, coaches, myself. I mean, started with me. I had a terrible performance. I don't know how else to put it.
Where did it come from, you think? Uncharacteristic for sure.
I mean, just start up, but not executing. It wasn't like I didn't know how to play the game. I just didn't execute when I should have executed, man. I mean, like I said, I can't sit here and make excuses. I mean, you can, but at the end of the day, I'm supposed to cover a guy, and he catches a ball on me. Get a flag, it's on me. I mean, can't blame the refs. Their job is to, you know, call the game, keep the rules in play, and I just didn't do a good job, simply playing.
Is Jackson one of the tougher covers, though, on those deep balls because of his speed?
I mean, any receiver with speed, you know, is a tough cover. But, you know, I did a pretty good job of covering them last year. So, but it's a new year, new season. I just flat out didn't execute. I don't know how else to put it. It wasn't rocket science. I mean, I know what he does. I know he runs deep. And, I mean, what else you want me to say?
You played through so many injuries this year. Mm-hmm. Are you okay today?
I mean, I was a little banged up. Man, you know, happened in the first quarter, but, you know, like I said, it's football.
What happened?
You're going to get banged up.
What, do you remember the play?
Trying to make a tackle. Landed on my shoulder. You know, it was a little bruised, banged up. Came back and got it checked out. I mean, I asked me if I wanted to, sit out the second half. I told him no.
Right.
I mean, I'm still going to fight for my team. Yes, I had a terrible performance, but, I'm there as a leader to be out there for my team and provide leadership. And, I mean, the second half was decent, but like I said, I put the blame solely on myself. I'm not even worried about what the offense did. I'm not worried about, what the other guys did on offense. I'm worried about, at this point, I'm concerned with what I do. If I do the things that I need to do, maybe it'll be a closer game, maybe it'll be a better outcome. I mean, I can't think about what happened on the other side of the ball or what the front seven was doing or what my other guys were doing. Once that ball snapped, I have to worry about the guy I'm lined up across from.
So that's Tracy Porter basically saying that he played terrible and that he was hurt, that he tried to battle through, but not really taking a shot at anybody. I mean,
No, he took full blame for things, which is, admirable, but quite frankly, you have to have pressure up front allow you to cover a little better. But I understand he's frustrated and that's great, except for you're losing and if you continue to lose, then you don't get to play much longer. That's how it works.
He had a good year last year.
Pretty straightforward.
And has not been the same player this year.
Well, he's been banged up. Right. But, part of being a pro, Dan, is this. What? Pros have to play injured. Everybody's hurt at this time in the year.
Which brings me to, we went over, John Fox and the rest of this organization wants to hide behind the injured reserve list this year. And lots have been made of the fact that we've got 19 players on the injured reserve. And I think only San Diego has more than we do. And we went over this list. Kaz and I, we talked about it with OB during the course of the game. And at least a dozen of these players are inconsequential. Mike Adams, Brandon Boykin, Eagle Ferguson, Hronas Gressu was really the only starter that was pinned in, but he wasn't a top line player. He was the center that got hurt the first day of practice at Soldier Field in shorts. But other players like Eddie Royal, what's he doing on injured reserve? He's got a sore toe. Why is he not finding a way? And that's kind of coded, folks, because there is such a thing as taking a little bit of a shot in your toe and being able to go out and help your team find a way to win. Why is he on injured reserve? Why is, Kevin White was put on injured reserve after the third week, and a lot of people said he should be eligible and healthy enough to come back at some point with 3 weeks left in the season. And, of course, there's no even mention of him coming back. Now, there's been a couple of guys like Danny Trevathan. He was a good player, hurt his knee. Zach Miller broke his leg. Hoyer, the backup, he had an arm fracture. But for Jay Cutler to be on the injured reserve now, that tells me that this is a team with players looking for a way out. They're not trying to find ways to get on the field. They're trying to find ways to get off the field. And you go right down this list, to Will Sutton, who's essentially, what would he be, the fifth best defensive tackle that we have? And they want to hide behind this list when really it's only about four guys that were counted on as starters, frontline players that have missed a considerable portion of the season. And if you look across the league, nobody else has got 20 guys on the injured reserve because you got a bunch of guys trying to find ways to stay in it, to stay a part of the team, to be able to help.
To compete.
Yeah, exactly. The kid today, Ryan Kerrigan, hurt his bicep in Monday night's game. He probably played 40 snaps today rushing the passer. He was one of the reasons why Matt Barkley was forced into an interception, you know, because of pressure. Now we're talking about, you know, Tracy Porter. We admire his courage and the fact that he is, you know, trying to find a way to help his team. That's great, and he gets an attaboy. But he ought to be up there telling Akeem Hicks and Willie Young and the rest of these guys, Pernell McPhee, give me some pressure. We did not even touch the quarterback today except one time. One time. We hit the quarterback one time in 29 pass attempts. No sacks, no turnovers, no pressure, no nothing. And, yeah, Tracy Porter, he's probably saying in a subliminal way, I'm out there fighting it my butt off, but I'm not getting any help.
Hampton OB sponsored by Parent Petroleum. And a reminder that you can get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. 312-981-7200. One game to go on the road with the Minnesota Vikings on New Year's Day. Merry Christmas. Hampton will be with Kaz on 720 WGN. Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 6 o'clock. OB, I know it's a tradition for you on Christmas Eve. You go out for a little meal.
You betcha.
You're about 30. How much Bears football will be discussed at your meal tonight?
I hope none. But it's where we're going to go. It's right in that runway leaving Soldier Field where this restaurant we're going to. And there'll be some people in there because they always are. They always ask questions.
Right.
You know, and they you know, hey, it's fine. And all this thing, Dan going through the injury report. And obviously other teams have a lot of injuries. There's no question about it. But I'm totally and completely miffed at what the hell is going on here. I mean, Goldman, kid weighs about 350 pounds, and he's been nursing a high ankle sprain all year long. I think he's played, in about three games? You got White, our number one draft choice from 2 years ago. Guy can't seem to get on the field. Goldman can't seem to get on the field. We have too many of these can't seem to get on the field performers for whatever the reason or reasons are. But, boy, I can tell you something. I wonder, since we don't do anything, is how the hell do these people get hurt? And how do they stay injured for weeks and months on end? How is that possible?
Kyle Fuller. I mean, and look, if they're not disclosing
more. Kyle Fuller should be arrested.
If they're not disclosing more, I mean, it was a scope.
It was a clean-out scope in training camp.
It's amazing. So clearly there's something much more going on.
And
there,
Vic Fangio,
right?
Obviously, and the reason that we saw Cravon LeBlanc get hung out to dry last week as a rookie is because, hey, a veteran player isn't taking the initiative to help his team. Now, there's three steps for an injured player to return to practice and play. Number one, the doctors basically clear you. Number two, the player engages and says, I'm ready. I want to practice. And third, you have to practice and show that you're willing, able, and competent to be out there and play and not hurt the team, but help the team. Well, the first thing was done weeks and weeks and weeks ago when Fuller was given the clearance, and yet he has yet to say, I'm ready to go. For what reason? What? And again, it's a culture, folks. If the team was 10-4 and trying for the playoffs and everybody is rallying, and that's the culture you want to develop with the coaching staff. And now it's a mess. It's a 3-12 miserable debacle, and everybody is running for the exits.
Dan, I have an answer for that.
He makes Mark Trestman look good.
If we were 10-3 or 11-3, if we were that kind of a team, these jamokes that are on this football team, they wouldn't be here. They would not be on a 10 or 11-3 football team. They're on this team. We can't win. It's poor drafting. It's poor coaching. And we wonder why we are where we are. It's not a mystery to me. If you're a good team, half the guys on this football team would not be on him.
312-981-7200. We got the 5:30 news. 1/2 hour to go. Quarterback comparison. Little talk on Matt Barkley coming up. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Dan Hager, talk back. We have a little bit of a gadget issue here. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Hey, we're here till 6 o'clock, 312-981-7200. The Raiders might have just lost their quarterback, Derek Carr. Got
his ankle twisted up for sure. I mean, at best, it's an ankle sprain. Ed, you know, the way it twisted it, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens here.
That did not look good. Hamp, what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I just wanted to put a little tag on the comment we made about the culture of this team is such that When you start seeing players that don't want to play and they kind of hide behind these ticky-tack injuries, and hey, if you got a broken leg like Zach Miller, okay, we understand. But for Kyle Fuller to hide all year on the it tells me there's no desire to play for this coaching staff and this team culture. And think about it: there was 25,000 no-shows probably today. 25,000. Now, how long will it be before, as you call it, the folks in the tower start realizing, hey, we don't have the proper culture here. Let's just look at the Cubs. Did you ever see a baseball team? And I know baseball, nobody was hurt. And not only that, Schwarber couldn't wait to come back from an ACL tear.
Right.
He had to get doctor. He couldn't wait to play. And he was a factor in his own way. Nobody was hurt. Somebody could have got, hey, no, they're not going to be, they want to be a part of it. That's what we're saying. This team is the exact opposite, 180 degrees opposed to what the Cubs were.
Dan, the culture of this team is the Bears I'm talking about. There is no culture. Again, just a simple thing right here. Take the New England Patriots. I'll guarantee you. You take our roster, I'll guarantee you. 65-70% of them, if not more, would not be on New England's roster. I'll guarantee it.
Here's the bigger view. Mark Trestman was considered the worst coach in the history of the Chicago Bears, right? Wouldn't we all agree with that? And so John Fox was brought in to restore the professional atmosphere, right? A pro locker room. What he has done in his 2 years is actually created a worse environment than Mark Trestman. Think about what we're saying here. He is a worse coach than Mark Trestman. Wins, losses, and the culture and environment he's created is I'm wishing for Mark Trestman right now.
John Fox's record is 9-22. And let me reiterate. Ed Obradovich opened a program saying, we weren't playing New England and Pittsburgh and Murder's Row. This was the second easiest schedule in all of football.
Absolutely.
And he is 9-22.
Folks, when at the opening volley, again, and it was so plain, it was right, I could just see it, it was right in front of me. The second easiest schedule in the National Football League, and I brought up the two teams, the Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars, two teams that were at the time, especially the Colts, were absolutely horrible. Luck wasn't playing. They had backups playing the offensive line. And then Luck comes back. The only guy we had to beat was Andrew Luck. That's the only guy Fangio, our defensive coordinator, has to scheme against. We couldn't get it done. Then we playing at home this miserable season. Jacksonville Jaguars, they've won two games all year. They come in to our field, to our home, okay? And again, defensively, we could not scheme a thing to shut Jacksonville down. We couldn't come up with a scheme, whether it's blitzing or whatever it was. And we let a team come in here who is one of the worst, if not the worst team in the National Football League, and beat us. Why? Because, again, Fangio could not come up with a scheme to stop the Jacksonville Jaguars, that huge juggernaut team. That's the facts, folks. Second easiest schedule, playing against two easy teams that were so banged up, and we couldn't put defensively a scheme together to win that football game. You know, you can't make this stuff up, folks.
Let's do our quarterback comparison, and I want to hear a couple thoughts on Matt Barkley before we get out of here at 6. Quarterback comparison sponsored by the Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, we're straightforward people, and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Matt Barkley today was 24-40, 323 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He was sacked one time, lost 5 yards, quarterback rating of 62.8. Kirk Cousins, 18 of 29 for 270, 9.3 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown, and a quarterback rating of 104.1.
The thing that jumps out to me is the fact that, you know, even though Barkley was only sacked once, he was under duress most of the day. And the Washington Redskins defensive line is not a stalwart group. But despite that, you know, Barkley, even with these interceptions, he still had a 7.8 yard per attempt, which is good.
Giant.
Except that Kirk Cousins, by virtue of the fact that we couldn't cover and we couldn't pressure him, he had a 9.3, which is a Super Bowl kind of rating.
How is it a passing team like the Redskins? And believe me, they are. They pass more than that's their game instead of running. How the hell is it with our defense? We're playing at home the last game of the year. We can't get to them. Not one single time, folks.
The bandwagon for Matt Barkley got pretty big last week and started maybe the week before that. And now everyone's running off it. So what's real here? That's my question.
He's a good player. He will be on a roster, and you'll get to see more of him. But like most young players, they do lay down stinkers. He laid a stinker down today.
You know, and again, I know nobody wants to hear this, but just say sanity prevails and John Fox is given the gate, which, again, it's Christmas and I can make a wish just like anybody else. The next coach that comes in here, you better believe he would love his chance at Jay Cutler and Matt Barkley as a backup. I'm just telling you, those two, anybody like Scott Linehan, the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, or Jim Bob Cooter, the guy in Detroit, whoever it is, you better believe they would love to say, I'll dance with these two guys.
Yeah, because you want to know why? Both of them can see the whole field, and you would have somebody like Cooter or whoever you talked about before then, they would come in here, and they would utilize the entire field. They would move that pocket. They would go downfield. They would throw to 8, 9, 10, 11 people. It's a passing league. We haven't figured – you want to know what we figured out here in 2 years? We figured out nothing. We're getting beat by teams, believe me, even being in this league, and we're getting beat by them. And what's worse yet, we're getting beat at home against teams that are just awful, and we can't even beat them. And you tell me there's not a problem with the coaches? Please.
Looking at Barkley's stats real quick, 362 yards last week against the Packers, most ever by a Bears quarterback versus the Packers in the history of the franchise. Think about that. Then you can also think about the last time that somebody threw 5 interceptions as a quarterback for the Bears. That'd be Jay Cutler back in 2009 versus the 49ers.
And Dan said it best, you know, sometimes when you continue to have poor play calling, poor route running, poor protection, you start getting scars and you start chucking it up for grabs,
Glenn,
and you saw Cutler do it. Now we saw Barkley kind of fall into
that
trap.
First and foremost, schematically is the problem.
Right.
Hey, we have no adjustments, guys.
Right.
We could play the first half and come out, and let's see, we're getting stymied in the passing game. We come out, and you know what we do? Same damn thing as the first quarter, as the second quarter. You see it. We know it. It is. There's no room for adjustment with this team. It is absolutely unbelievable. And how today you could have a quarterback from the Redskins sit back there and eat us alive, and we never got to him one time. We couldn't come up with a blitz to get to him, something, somehow,
yeah,
to
crazy.
Put pressure on Cousins, their quarterback. We came up with nothing offensively and defensively, and guess what? Bang! We get hammered again.
And almost in a pathetic sidebar to that, Fangio actually does decide to blitz down. They were about the 20. And you know what? We send six, and they have the perfect counter, a screen that goes for a touchdown.
Right.
Quick timeout, our final timeout, Bears and the Vikings. It doesn't mean a whole lot. That's your final game, but we will get you ready for it coming up.
You know what, Mark? It's just a damn shame.
It is.
What happened this year. And, boy, I know all the people were out there looking about it thinking, hey, you want to know what? Maybe Fox is the guy. He's done it before. They made some free agency moves. I didn't like their draft at all. But, anyways, everybody had high hopes. And, boy, oh, boy, we came out game after game. And again, I go back, training camp, exhibition season. Oh, my God, it was the most horrible thing I've seen in football. Why? We did nothing, folks. Now you're probably saying, oh, Ed, that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. They did nothing. That's why when it came to game one, now to game 15, you want to know what, folks? We don't know what the hell we're doing. We can't put a game plan together on both sides of the ball. Where'd that stem from? Training camp, exhibition season. When in a passing game, which this is a passing league, in a passing game, the most important thing for a quarterback and the receivers is what? Timing. Timing's the most important thing. And we don't even, in four exhibition games, we don't even attempt to get timing down. How are you ever going to get timing down once the main gun goes off? It doesn't happen, folks. It just doesn't.
Final timeout, 720 WGN. We will be going into our Christmas programming at 6 o'clock tonight. Next live show will be 6 o'clock tomorrow, 6 to 9 tomorrow night, hosted by yours truly. I'll be with you on Christmas night. Kaz, you going to call in? Hampo?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Call me.
Thank you very much.
Just keep trying.
If I don't answer at first, no, I will at some point answer.
Yeah.
Give you my word.
All right. I appreciate that.
No
hey, more importantly, the next game preview, sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most. That would be you. The Minnesota Vikings are last up on the docket. The Vikings lost to the Green Bay Packers today, 38-25. Green Bay, as promised by Aaron Rodgers, would not lose another game, and they're going to have a chance to take the division in the final week with the Lions on the road at Dallas tomorrow. Detroit can get to 10-5, but Green Bay will be coming in at 10-6. At 9-6, rather. Anyway, Minnesota, more importantly, is 7-8. Vikings are a huge disappointment this year. They started out 5-0.
Well, and they got shredded again on defense. As we know, Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers, pretty good. 38 points they gave up. Sam Bradford, better than normal. He had to attempt 50 passes today. Came out of there with three touchdowns. 382 yards, so they're dangerous, okay? But Adrian Peterson more than likely will not be a part of it. He might. I don't know. His return 2 weeks ago was, you know, kind of a thud. But the Vikings, obviously, as you said, a huge disappointment. They started 5-0, and they've just been miserable, winning only two of the last 10 games. So will they have their dander up? Will they be trying to make a statement? More than likely, it looks like this is another game where, hey, well, we're gonna see the team that went to Detroit and took them to the wire, or are we gonna have another effort like we did today, where we let a nobody football team embarrass us at home?
You would think a lot of guys are trying to leave a positive and fresh impression going out the door, but who knows with this team right now? I mean, I think it's a huge game for Matt Barkley.
Well, I think individuals may try, but collective whole, nobody's making that ultimate sacrifice to put the team in a position to win. And it shows up. That's why you get beat.
Like, if I'm Joshua Bellamy, I'm not sleeping at night. I'm worried about my NFL future, right?
Well, you should, but I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he has all the physical tools.
Yeah, but any NFL team that watches his lack of effort trying to tomahawk down, spike a ball that was errant, you know, decision by the quarterback, but he's got a chance to knock that ball down, and he doesn't, and it results in an interception. So, you know, all these things matter. It's not how many yards you run for, but it's can you pick up the blitz? Do you not drop, you know, wheel route screens and checkdowns? I mean, all these different things, all these players, you know, obviously they're all thinking not only about their future, but it's just sad this whole thing's going to end in a fizzle on the road against another miserable team.
Well, I can tell you this, gentlemen, and your listeners out there, all these players you've seen play this year, especially the back half of this season, offensively, the wide receivers, et cetera, some of the offensive linemen, they will be gone. You will not see them here. They will not be a part of this team, whether Fox comes back or not. Why? Because you can't win a Super Bowl with them. You just, and that's what you play for. You don't play to come in second, whatever. You win the Super Bowl. And the guys we have on this football team, you couldn't even – these guys, you'd never win with these people. It just happens to be a fact. We got to go out and get a new philosophy and some new players in here. You keep these guys around with the same philosophy today and next year with the same people, same philosophy. Guess what? Be the same damn thing over again.
Gentlemen, Christmas Eve has come. I wish you all an outstanding evening tonight, Christmas Day with your family tomorrow. We'll get to see you on New Year's Day one final time. Any thoughts you want for the people out there?
Yeah, Mark, to you and everybody at WGN, Dan and Glenn and their families, and most important to all the listeners, a very merry, merry Christmas and a very prosperous but more important, a healthy 2017 to you all, and thank you so very much. Tune in. One more week to go, but that's from the bottom of my heart. God bless you.
Thanks, Ed.
We will talk to you next week, and our Christmas programming coming straight ahead, 720 WGN.